Take your Bible and join me in 2 Kings chapter 3. I want to revisit a theme from that text because of the days we're in right now. And I'm so glad, by the way, that you're doing a study in prophecy. I just encourage you to engage. So many people are unaware of how the Bible helps us see things. So that's great. I've called my message this morning, The Whispering Gallery. The Whispering Gallery. I'm going to read from verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 3, and then down to about verse 18. It says, so the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. What, exclaimed the king of Israel, has the Lord called us three kings together only to deliver us into the hands of Moab? But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, why do you want to involve me? Go to the prophets of your father and prophets of your mother. No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to deliver us into the hands of Moab. Elisha said, as surely as the Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not pay attention to you. Now bring me a harpist. While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came to Elisha, and he said, this is what the Lord says, I will fill this valley with pools of water. For this is what the Lord says, you will neither see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you and your cattle and your animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, please open our minds, our hearts to what you have to say. Help me guide my words in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you have enjoyed watching royal events from England from time to time. Maybe some of you even got up early in the morning to watch the marriage of Princess Di and Prince Charles years ago. Some of those royal events that take place, the Queen's jubilees and anniversaries and birthdays or whatever, they often take place in a place called St. Paul's Cathedral, which is an Anglican church there in London, England. It's one of the most prominent buildings in London, and it has a very well-known top to it. The top of it is a dome, and it's very high up and prominent there in London. But you can take stairs up to that dome, and there's 259 stairs that you can climb and go up to that dome and experience the Whispering Gallery. So what's that Whispering Gallery is about 30 meters across, but the dynamics of that room, the acoustics of that room are such that you could just whisper on one side and hear it very clearly and loudly on the other side. It's the Whispering Gallery. I want to talk to you about living in the Whispering Gallery. Elisha was a man who lived in the Whispering Gallery, I believed, where the whispers of God would be come to him and he would know what to do. You know, these days, I don't know about you, but I have more people asking me questions than perhaps any time in my life. Questions like, who do I trust in all this COVID confusion? How do I respond to an uncooperative teenager? Pastors are asking me, should I resign my job? Other people are saying, how do we handle conflict on the church board? Others are asking, how do I respond in the situation where my children won't allow me to see my grandchildren? Questions, 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 questions. This week, a medical person who has been really taken to a difficult place health-wise because of all the COVID pressures asked me, how do I get better? Questions. Maybe some of you have questions today, difficult questions. Maybe people are asking you difficult questions. How do we respond? How do we find answers to difficult questions? And I want to suggest part of that is entering God's whispering gallery. In this story, you have, in chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, the stage is set. It was during the reign of King Joram of Israel, and Joram was the son of Ahab. Ahab had made an arrangement with the king of Moab, and the king of Moab was supposed to send him 100,000 sheep each year, and the wool from 100,000, and the king of Moab had decided, no, I'm not going to do that anymore, so Joash had to bring him into line, and so he invited King Jehoshaphat from Judah and the king of Edom to come along. So we have three kings going to war to bring this other king into line. And so they agree, and they start going along. And Elisha's along. He's just blending in. In fact, King Jehoshaphat, who Elisha liked, he didn't even know Elisha was along. But my point is, they got into trouble. They ran out of water. Their animals, themselves, they all needed water, and they ran out of water. And so a question arrives. What do we do? It's a big question. You have thousands of people dying and ready to die of thirst. You have all the animals ready to die of thirst. This whole war enterprise is ready to clash. You have a big question. And so it is in this context that Elisha is, and my point is, first of all, you never know where you will have need of an answer. Elisha's just traveling along. We're just going through life these days, and all of a sudden questions are coming to us. You don't know. I didn't know I'd be contacted by a high-up medical person this week to ask, how can I get better? Well, we don't know when the questions will come. You may be asked to find answers from people who don't even honor God. We are in a time when non-church people or non-followers of God are asking questions. Yesterday, I was just at the hardware store buying some sandpaper. And the owner of the enterprise started asking questions about all that's going on and government policies and so on. What's going on? To start asking questions. You may be asked to find answers for people who don't even acknowledge the Lord. But Jehoshaphat became aware that Elisha was there, and he said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and the king of Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. This is very interesting. If you follow what kings do, kings don't go seeking somebody out. Kings say, hey, I want to hear from you. You come to see me. And here, three of them, three kings, go to see Elisha. Isn't that interesting? People get desperate for answers. They'll come to see you. You don't know who it's going to be. Well, Elisha didn't respect the king who was kind of leading that, Joram, but he did respect Jehoshaphat. And so because of that respect to Jehoshaphat, he was willing to speak to his concerns. Elisha makes it clear he was helping because of his respect for Jehoshaphat. But sometimes we are asked to help out and provide answers in situations and with people that we may not even really think we'd like to provide answers for. I was once asked, I got a phone call, interesting phone call, to help in a home. These people were having all kinds of haunted house kind of experiences. And so I went there, and there are people who were third generation Christians. The grandparents had been missionaries, and they drifted. But they wanted help. And I sat there and said, Lord, do I help these people? They're kind of bringing the trouble on themselves. What kind of answers do I give? And I prayed, and I just sensed the Lord wanted me to help them. So I helped them. And we may be asked to provide answers in situations that we may feel a little uncomfortable in. Thirdly, I want to say there are conditions that help you find answers. Elisha enters the whispering gallery. So he has this encounters with the kings, and they're saying, what do we do? What does the Lord have us do? And then he says in verse 15, now bring me a harpist. While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came on Elisha, and he had the answer for what to do. Elisha, I've studied his life quite a bit, probably more than any Bible character. And Elisha lived a life of listening. Questions would come, he knew the answer. Questions would come, he knew the answer. There's two times when he didn't have an immediate answer, according to the scriptures I've read. This is one of them. I think maybe it's because he's agitated of being around King Joram, but his spirit is something. He's agitated, so he said, bring me some music. Bring me a harpist. And while the harpist played, he was able to hear from God. I have a friend, music is the way he connects with God. Oh man, he sings, he gets out his guitar and he sings, and it just really encourages him, settles his spirit. We know King David played music and calmed the spirit of Saul. Was Elisha dealing with anger here? I'm guessing so. By the way, Ephesians 4, 30 and 31 talks about don't quench the spirit, get rid of all bitterness, anger, all that kind of stuff. Clean it up. If you want to hear the whispers of God, that's one of the things to do. A second time Elisha didn't know exactly what to do immediately was in 2 Kings chapter 4, 32 to 35. And in this time, the Shunammite woman's son had passed away, and Elisha didn't know quite what to do, but it said that he went in and prayed, and then when he prayed, he knew what to do. So my point is this. There was times when Elisha didn't know what the answers were to the difficult questions being asked. He took steps to get his heart in a place where he could hear the whispers of God. Oswald Chambers writes, get into the habit of saying, speak, Lord, and life will become a romance. Every time circumstances press, say, speak, Lord, make time to listen. I don't know about you, but I sense God's leading when I get my thoughts and hearts quiet. Or my heart quiet, and then I can start to hear the whispers of God. We have so many things right now that are distracting us, that are stressing us, that are vexing us, and at the same time, with all that is coming, all kinds of questions are coming. I encourage you to take the steps to get your heart quiet with God so you can hear the whispers and answers. Henry Blackaby says God speaks through his spirit, the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and people. Chuck Swindoll talked about, in his book, The Intimacy with the Almighty, simplicity, silence, solitude, and surrender. All of them are saying, get your heart in a place where you can hear from God. Amen. Things that help me hear the whispers of the Spirit. Morning quiet in a place when before my family gets up. I have my favorite chair. make myself a cup of coffee, and in the quiet, think and pray things through. Sometimes it takes a season of prayer where I bring an issue over a period of time to God, reading scripture, being aware what people are saying, and just listening for the Spirit of God to direct to find an answer to that question. I've also found that going to church has been really good. I'm glad you're here. But sometimes I'm sitting there listening, not only a sermon or the worshiping, and all of a sudden an idea, an answer comes. Sometimes I journal over a period of time, then I go back to reflect on the trends. But my point is simply this. I try to get into the whispering gallery. What you hear God say there may be a little bit hard to believe. Elisha says, tomorrow this valley is going to be full of water. It's basically saying the water is coming. There's not going to be rain. There's not going to be a storm. The place is going to be full of water. Some translations say dig ditches so he could catch it, basically, so he could catch it. Some translations don't include that phrase. I don't understand all of that, why that is. But my point is the answer that came was really unique. God is a God who gives answers. That's part of who he is. What questions are you asking? I recently heard a story of a guy named Les Brown, who is one of the leading speakers now for encouraging people. But years ago, he decided to run for political office, and he had very little funds, and he went to the radio station. He wanted to put advertising, and the guy says, well, you're not going to do much with the money you got. So he said, I got quiet, and I started to think, what can I do with this little bit? And so he said, I'm going to get my mom to endorse me. He recorded this spot where his mom said, this is Les Brown's mom. He is a good boy. I raised him to be a good man. Vote for him. And he won by a landslide. It's interesting. But the idea came when he was quiet. This is an easy thing in the sight of the Lord, Elisha said. This poses the question, how well do you and I know God? The truth is, the better we know God, the more abundant life we can bring to others, the more answers we can provide, the more answers we find. And when we listen to God, he brings answers to our situation. And as I say, the thirsty army received water. And I could give you many instances of scripture where this pattern, not only from Elisha, but other people, happened. In the New Testament, we might want to think about our Lord Jesus. When it says in Luke chapter 6, 12-12, one of those days, Jesus went to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When the morning came, he called his disciples to them and chose 12 of them who he designated as apostles. So Jesus has a big decision to make. He needs answers. Who do I pick to be my disciples? What does he do? He spends a night in prayer. He goes to the whispering gallery. The Apostle Paul listened when he was on that stormy sea with the boat, and he was able to give instruction and answers of how to handle that situation. You can read that story in Acts 27. My point to you this morning is simply this. Listening to God reveals life-giving answers to difficult problems. Listening to God reveals life-giving answers to difficult problems. The pressure was on Elisha. You have the king saying, what do we do? He said, let's just cut off this conversation. Bring me the music. I'm going to get my heart quiet till I hear from God. You know, years ago, when I was 19 years old, I led a mission team to England. And we are very busy. It was a very encouraging time, just like this mission trip that we had reported on today, or that experience. But one day we had time to go to London and see the tourist sites. And so we saw London Bridge, we saw a number of places, we were at Trafalgar Square, we were at all kinds of things. And we stopped outside St. Paul's Cathedral, where 259 steps up was the Whispering Gallery. And we debated, should we go up? We were a little tired, should we go up? And we decided, at least a bunch of us decided, we've had so much going on, we're just not going to go up. So I live with the regret. I wish now that I knew more, as I know more about this, I wish I had taken the steps to get to the Whispering Gallery. Right now, there's a lot of God's people that have questions. And people we're meeting on the street, at our businesses, they have questions. I want to encourage you to take whatever steps necessary to get to the Whispering Gallery so you can hear the whispers of God. We need God's direction in this time. Get quiet. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Take the steps to listen so that you can give life-giving answers to difficult problems. I am in anticipation because a while back I had a life or a very big problem. So I went to the Listening Gallery and the Lord started to show me some steps to take, and I've been taking those steps. Probably the next couple months I'll see the fruit of it. But I just found them again. When you go to Him with questions, He is able to give answers. He may put on your heart, go talk to so-and-so about this. They'll know. He may put on your heart a strategy to try. He may just give you a greater peace so you can walk with grace into it. Go to the Listening Gallery. Go to the Listening Gallery, my friends. We're in a day of questions, and we need to be people of answers. Bless you.